Welcome to the new service manual study. We are glad you are all here. My name is Dee and I am an alcoholic. I am currently serving in Florida's District 6 of Area 15 as a district committee member, otherwise known as a DCM. I will be facilitating this 13-week workshop with Billy N., a past panel 49 delegate and past General B service trustee, as he shares his experience, strength, and hope with us walking through our new service manual. If you have not received the new service manual, you may click on the link that we will provide in the chat to obtain an electronic version to get you through, or you can, for a hard copy, you may contact your local central office, intergroup, district committee member, or click on the link in the chat to order directly from Alcoholics Anonymous World Services. And again, that link will be in the chat. In the chat, we will also provide you with a link to all the recordings and resources referenced throughout this 13-week service manual study. If you are uncertain how to save it from the chat, please send me an email to my email address. Again, that will be in the chat. DEEA15D6DCM@gmail.com with your request. Please don't send me your email in the chat as it does not get saved. The features for renaming chatting publicly and unmuting have been disabled for the safety of all in attendance tonight. Our American Sign Language interpreter, Luciana, has been spotlighted for those in attendance in need of her services. I will now open the service workshop with the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Billy, thank you for being here. It's all yours.
Thanks, Dee. I'm Billy. I'm an alcoholic. Welcome, everyone. I mean, I really don't know what it says about our psychiatric health that there's 157 of us 2 days before Christmas talking about the service manual, but let me first say thank you for your service to Alcoholics Anonymous, first and foremost. And just kind of lay out a couple of things as we go forward. We have all different years of experience in this room. And starting a service manual study at the start of almost a new year is kind of like gym memberships after a New Year's resolution. We all know how many people go to the gym in January, and we all know how many people go to the gym in May. So how many people are here tonight? It doesn't matter how many people are here in 3 months. We're going to go through the whole book, and we're going to take the time it takes us. And regardless how many stay with us or don't. A couple of things to get out of the way. The service manual is not a policy manual. It is very, very important to understand that. It is supposed to be like what the group pamphlet is to the group, to service, an owner's manual. Now, and I'm pointing the finger at me, everyone wants their day in the spotlight. When you catch an area officer wrong at the microphone with your service manual in hand, pointing out where they have just made a big error. But I just want to let you know that it is a lot easier to do that than to properly welcome someone to service. It doesn't matter what an expert you become in the service manual. If you are not approachable by the new person to service, and by the way, my message here is really for those who are not GSRs yet, GSRs and alternate GSRs, and DCMs, because for the new person showing up at a district meeting or an assembly, they're not talking to me. They're not talking to a delegate. They're going to talk to the most approachable person. And that is your number one job, to be approachable to the person who came after you. Because there's a question we ask in service all the time. What can we do better? How can we stop apathy? We ask those questions all the time. Any service workshop, how do we get more people involved? I don't know. It seems like an easy answer. Be nicer to them. That seems like pretty nice. Like you want people to come back? Treat them nice. The other thing is be on the lookout for things that either you do personally or your district does or your area does that are not welcoming. I'm not going to say you'll be able to change it that day, but there are certain things that sometimes we get so stuck that we don't see it. We just don't see it. Show me a building that has a problem, a big problem, and take the person who built the building with me, and that person will tell you that that is the best building ever built. Take someone who had nothing to do with building the building, and they will point out every single thing wrong. Because when you are too emotionally invested and close to something, it is hard for you to admit that maybe it needs to change. But I want you all to know that change is okay. And, you know, sometimes maybe it's not how do we get people more involved in service. It's how do we stop driving people away from service? How do we stop doing things that send the wrong message? So that's out of the way. Let me get the next thing out of the way. There is only one reason I am doing this service manual study. It's the same reason I do any service-related workshop. Not because I don't have something better to do, because I do have something better to do right now, but I'm not doing it because I'm here. I had the privilege. I served in the service structure early. I was a delegate by the time I was 32. I served as an appointed committee member in my mid-30s. I was a non-trustee director by the time I was in my early 40s. And I was a trustee long before I was 50, a couple of years. So why do I tell you that? Because it's a double-edged sword. I could do nothing and then have people complain that I'm just, you know, driving around in my fancy car with my fancy job and I took all these fancy titles in AA and just turned my back. So that's easy to do. Or I could recognize that if I were to simply take away all the experience that people who came before me put into me, if I took that away, I would just be stealing from AA. I would just be taking and being selfish and, oh, it was nice to be a trustee and nice to be a director. But now that I'm done, I'm done. So, I have something that a lot of other past trustees don't have. Some do, but many don't. And that is many more years to do this because I rotated at such an unusually young age. But having said all that, do not go to your assembly and say, Billy N said. If you're looking to have your vote go horribly wrong, say, Billy N said. And then, you know, you will lose your vote and it'll flame out. All I'm going to do is point out some things over the next couple of months to maybe make your life and service better, to maybe make it so that you can attract more people to service, to maybe point out that really all we're supposed to do is to be talking about, you know, at the end of the day, the service structure really only has two jobs: to keep the doors open and to make sure the message gets carried. That's it. It's easy to go to a lot of service events and think that our job is bylaws and guidelines and making rules and a lot of other things. But it's really not. our number one job is to get the message out to the person who hasn't received it yet. See, believe it or not, and this is sometimes where districts and areas go off track a little bit, but you'll come to a really good place in your sobriety when you accept that the groups really have everything under control. They don't need your help. They really have everything under control, and they're welcoming newcomers into AA, and they're on the firing line of Alcoholics Anonymous, and that's what the groups do. And that's exactly what service people should stay away from, unless you're doing it at your group. Service structure's job is to do for the groups what they can't do for themselves. The service structure's job is to enable communication amongst the groups. The service structure's job is to get to people who run into people like us. I mean, let's face it, we're not your ordinary group of people. We're just not. And I'm talking about alcoholics in general. We tend to come to the attention of certain types of people in society. Priests, rabbis, marriage counselors, therapists, psychiatrists, wardens, parole officers, probation officers, drug court judges. I could go on and on. The service structure's job is to make sure that those people know where to find AA and know how to reach AA. And just as importantly, that they know what AA is and what AA is not. That's the service structure's job. Worrying about what groups are doing is really the group's issue. So the new service manuals come out. People are super excited. I love that they made it 8x11. I think that is awesome. I love that they allowed the ability to maybe take some notes. It's great. If you open up, first of all, I guess I want to say this because I don't want to assume. If somebody here does not have a new service manual, from what I can check, most intergroups and central offices now have service manuals. But if there is somebody here who lives in a location where you have not been able to get a hard copy service manual, please email me or email D. Okay, email D. Her email will be in the chat. And we will do our best to make sure that you get the service manual. So the new service manual, red in color, 8x11. If you turn the first page, it's the title. And then you turn the next page, it's the new preamble. The new preamble is there. I think the only thing I would like to say about that is, in support of tradition one, that's our preamble. There's a lot of people out there upset about it. I think we'll have kind of a renaissance in service this year and next year because of how many people feel they didn't know about what was going on in AA. And that's awesome. But that is our preamble. The Declaration of Unity is below it. And then I am responsible. The Declaration of Unity you'll see on a lot of conference-approved literature. And then it says revised May of 2021 in our copyright, our ISBN number. And then you go to Roman numeral 3 and you go to the table of contents. And I think the table of contents is pretty self-explanatory. And it goes all the way to Roman numeral 7. Now, I will say that having looked through this book, and I've read not all of it yet, word for word, but almost, you know, I am rather impressed with some of the diagrams and some of the more user-friendly aspects of the service manual. But I am really happy that page 1 still starts with the legacy of service. And if you're not familiar with this, this is really what was given out in 1955 at the International Convention to the delegates at the 5th General Service Conference. And there's a couple of important things in there. I don't want to read to you. Everyone knows I don't like reading. Well, I don't like being read to. I think if people wanted to be read to, they would get the audio book or they would just read it themselves. But let's just talk about AA's legacy of service for a second. It says our 12th step carrying the message is the basic service that the AA fellowship gives. This is our principal aim and the main reason for our existence. Therefore, AA is more than a set of principles. It is a society of alcoholics in action. And then I love the second paragraph. Hence, an AA service is anything whatever helps us reach the fellow sufferer. So that's a point that I wanted to make. The word service. We are not only talking about third legacy service here. That is not the only type of service we're talking about. Or I should say, we're not only talking about general service. Somewhere along the way, when you travel in the AA fellowship, it's kind of become like almost like a secret handshake code word. Are you involved in service? You active in service? All, you know, and sometimes it sounds condescending to people if you're defining service as only general service, because there's so much other service out there. And if you want to be a trusted servant that's effective, be grateful for all the service that is being done. It says, ranging all the way from a 12-step itself to a 10-cent phone call and a cup of coffee and to AA General Service Office for National and International Action. The sum total of all these services is our third legacy. And how about those out there that say, in a group is not AA? Well, thank God for the third paragraph. Service includes meeting places, hospital cooperation, and in-a-group offices. They mean pamphlets, books, good publicity of almost every description. And so I really mean this when I say this to anyone in here. If you don't like general service and you give it a decent try, there's plenty of service for you to do. Plenty of service. And then in the 5th paragraph, I didn't just make up that line. And when Don P. used to quote it, he didn't make it up. It's right there in the book. Concerning any service given, any given service, we therefore pose but one question. Is this service really needed? If it is, then maintain it we must, or fail in our mission to those who need and seek Alcoholics Anonymous. Again, the stressing is, we are all the lucky ones. We're here already. The service structure, the traditions and the concepts are to make sure that we don't louse it up. You know, I was saying 2 weeks ago, and I'll just say it here for those of you who are new, or is there are a lot of great members of AA who think the service structure, the traditions, and the concepts are not needed. I mean really good on the firing line members. And you're not going to win them over with quoting the service manual. You're not going to win them over with fancy titles. In my experience, what has helped is asking those people where they would have went to on their sobriety date if AA didn't exist. Just an honest, fair question. On the day you got sober, what would your life be like today if the people who were entrusted to Alcoholics Anonymous had destroyed it before you got here? And I don't know. Maybe there's just a lot of people who are a lot healthier than me. I'm sure that's true. But if I apply that question to my own life, where would I be today? That's a scary, scary question. And that's the point we have to get across to people who maybe question the need for the other 24 spiritual principles or the structure, is we forget about all the work that was done by people like us 40 years ago to keep the door open. And the problem with institutional service, I'll call it, and maybe a godsend at the same time, is this. You ever meet anyone on day zero? I'm sure there has to be people here who have met somebody on day zero. They don't even have one day. Day zero. Or maybe you met them on day seven, but you met them very early. And then you see them at their 1 year anniversary. I mean, it's so miraculous. It's like they got on Noah's Ark and got off, like, you know, 20 miles later. Like it's not the same person. And that's the awesome thing about working on the firing line of Alcoholics Anonymous with new people, is you get to see tangible results of your own actions. Sometimes they get sober, sometimes they don't, but you get to see the results. That's the difficult part of AA service. A lot of times you're just like helping the snowball go down the hill three more turns. Like you're just prodding the idea along. I warn everybody who gets involved in service that this is going to happen to you. So just be prepared, and I'll describe what's going to happen to you. You are perhaps in your district or area going to come up with one of the greatest ideas that they have ever seen. You are. A lot of you are. It's going to be so fantastic, it's going to drive other people crazy, actually. And then 10 years after you rotate out, you're going to be reading the area newsletter and you're going to see like five other people get credit for your great idea that you had 10 years ago. And I just want to let everyone know that sometimes I think God works in mysterious ways due to the alcoholic ego. And God works in a way that maybe too much credit isn't given all at one time to one alcoholic, because our egos, like mine, are just not good to deal with that. And you know why I bring that up? I'm telling you, this is a true story. About 50 minutes ago, I went out to get some food. And as I was pulling in the parking lot, I saw a phone call come in. And it's from someone who's very active in service right now and holds a position I used to hold. And so I answered it and I talked to her. And you know what she was talking about? Something I told the board that they were out of their minds about 7 years ago, and they better deal with it or it would be a big problem. 7 years ago. And guess what? She's going to get all the credit for fixing it. There's going to be no asterisk in the General Service Board report. It's not going to say at the bottom of footnote 2, we really want to thank Billy N for 7 years ago who had originally brought this idea up. It's just not going to say that. And maybe that's the way it's supposed to be. That we don't do things where we move so slow sometimes it could drive us crazy. But because a lot of us are impulsive people, I mean, it's bad enough that as individuals we're impulsive. Get a few of us together who are all impulsive, and then we make colossal mistakes. So, if you turn the page, I kind of like the section, Welcome to General Service. Today, there are approximately 2 million members representing 125,000 groups across approximately 180 countries. More than 40 million copies of our basic text, Alcoholics Anonymous, has been distributed in over 70 languages. Indeed, AA has come a long way since the May Day in 1935 when our co-founders, Bill W. and Dr. Bob, met for the first time. And then it says a couple of lines below, to those serving the fellowship for the first time, the term general service may be unfamiliar. And so general service is our general service structure. And I'm going to ask those that are sending direct messages, because I'm getting a bunch of them, that we're going to hold off on them. And we don't want to take away your ability to message either me or Dee, but it's a lot easier to keep this going and then just keep that for questions and answers. And then I love this section, how is general service organized? On page 3, I really do. I love the big color picture. AA groups, group GSRs, districts, area assemblies, general service conference, general service board, AAWS, AA grapevine. And we're going to go into a lot of detail. I'm going to share with you as much personal experience as I can. And it talks about that the type of organization we are is an upside down triangle, where the groups at the top are in charge. And I will point out, because we're long before we could get to concept one, there's two specific groups of people that are not at the top of the triangle. The number one is AA members, individual members, me. I am not at the top of the triangle. That was well planned. I do not need to be at the top of the triangle. My home group is at the top of the triangle. And meetings. Meetings are not at the top of the triangle. And we'll go into a little of that as we get further through the book. But it says right there on page 3, in this structure, the groups have final authority. I love that they wrote it this way, because I'll throw out to you one of my significant pet peeves. The short form of concept 6. Probably the worst written couple of sentences in all of AA literature. If you read the long form, it talks about that the General Service Conference is the final decision maker for large matters of policy and finance. And then it says the trustees carry out the day-to-day activities. Anyone read the short form of concept 6 lately? You know what it leaves out? That the conference has final authority for large matters of policy and finance. It was obviously written by a trustee. There is no doubt about that. But I love that it says right on page 3, in this structure, the groups have final authority. But how do the groups make their thoughts and wishes, their group conscience, known to the rest of the triangle? General Service is organized to do exactly this. Each section of the triangle has a role to play. In the corporate world today, we call that staying in your lane. In AA, we just say each has a role to play. And if you turn the page to page 4, and it really lays out in good design the group, the district, the area, the delegate in the conference, and the trustees. I love the way it does it, and it's going to let us get into the details of the GSR and the group and the district and the DCM and the area officers and Third Legacy. We're going to get into all the details. But if you are active in your area, I just want to point out something to you. Sometimes I find it very interesting that some of our areas don't operate like the conference anymore. That if the trustees did to the area delegates at the conference what a lot of areas have done to GSRs, there would be a revolution. So what do I mean by that? I mean this. Just look at the top of page 5, the delegate in the conference and that picture of the conference. And for simple math, if you want to make a note, who is that conference? And we're going to be talking about this as we go further and further. But you see the red and the blue and the gray and the silver, I guess that is. They tried to do it by scale, I'm sure. I'm sure that's what they tried to do. The red is the area delegates. 93 of them out of about 135 voters at the General Service Conference. 93. The blue, the 4, I'm sure is supposed to represent the trustees. 21 of them, 21 trustees. And then the silver and the gray, I'm sure is supposed to be the 6 non-trustee directors and the 15 GSO and Grapevine employees. But that's our conference. Over 2/3 of the voting members are area delegates, close to 70%. And that's to align with concept 4. But as we go through the service manual, and as we spend many weeks together, take a look at your assembly. How many voting members have been added to your assembly in the last 30 years? Take a look at the average vote at your assembly. Who's voting? Is 2/3 of the voters GSRs or DCMs? Because what I've seen over the last 20 years specifically is area committees have just grown and grown. We now have recording secretaries and corresponding secretaries and registrars and alternate registrars and alternate corresponding secretaries and alternate registrars and alternate treasurers and alternate area chairs. And I could go on and on. And then we've given voting privileges to the PI chair and the Drapevine chair. And I'm not saying any of them don't deserve to participate. But what I am saying is your area assembly, when it was started, was meant to mirror the General Service Conference, where your groups had the largest voting percentage. Now you can say, oh, but Billy, they don't show up. Well, do you know what happens at the General Service Conference if not enough delegates showed up? They can't have it. They can't have it. If the quorum is not met, they can't do business. So I think it's something you should just keep in the back of your head as we start this new year of service in January with a lot of assemblies coming up, is take a look at who is really behind the group conscience at your area. And page 6, there's some good questions, and page 7 starts the chapter about the General Service Representative. And I wanted to get there tonight because I want to talk about the next 2 weeks. So I expect that this week everyone will read the Legacy of Service, page 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and that you will read the chapter on the GSR, pages 7, 8, 9, 10, and 11, and then the questions on 12. Actually, you're going to have like 3 weeks to read all that. And I'll get to that in a minute as to why. So the chapter 1 on the General Service Representative, let me just read a couple of key things. I love this line that they put in. I almost am shocked that it got through the process, because some people would think it's too strongly worded, but I love it. Paragraph 1. Third sentence, while many AA members attend other groups as well, the home group is where they participate in business meetings and cast their vote as part of the group, conscience of the fellowship as a whole. As with all group conscience matters, each member has one vote. One group, one vote. And now it's clearly stated in the service manual. And I could not be happier about that. And then it goes on to say, the role of the GSR is essential to ensuring that groups can fulfill that responsibility. Only when a GSR keeps the group informed and communicates the group conscience can the conference truly act for AA as a whole. And then we go down to the bottom of the page, which you'll read when you have time to read it in the next 2 or 3 weeks. But I'm going to just focus on qualifications for GSR. Experience of the fellowship suggests the most effective GSRs, 1, have 2 years of continuous sobriety. 2, are familiar with their group's history, priorities, traditions, and procedures. Now, if you're new to all of this, I don't even like the term small t tradition, but we do use it in some of our literature. When you see the word tradition used with a small lowercase t, it is not talking about the 12 traditions. It is talking about something we do traditionally. In this situation, it's talking about your group's history, your group's traditions and procedures. You also need, are able to listen to all points of view. That's a tall order for a lot of us. Have the time to regularly attend district meetings and area assemblies and the group's business meetings. Have a working familiarity with the 12 traditions in AA recovery and service literature. Have an email address or other easy way of maintaining contact with group members. Are familiar with the GSO and area websites. So a couple of things I want to say about those qualifications. The first thing I want to say is If your district meeting is at the same time and day as it was 20 years ago, it's time to wake up. It's time to realize that it's not 20 years ago. It's time to realize that the world has changed. It's time to realize that different cultures inside different generations, that it doesn't have to always be the same date and time. I recently looked at an assembly just because I wanted to do a test. I had the current area assembly agenda and the one from 20 years ago. Guess what? Exactly the same. Exactly. Exactly. Do you know what we call that? Because concept six tells us we chose the corporate model, not the government model. Do you know what we would call that in the corporate model? We would call that a company that no longer exists and went bankrupt because it refuses to change. That's what we would call it. Don't be satisfied with the status quo. Now, you might not change it right away, or maybe it doesn't need to change. But don't be afraid to bring up the topic of change. Let's see, what other one did I want to talk about quickly? Oh, this is one that sometimes is hard for people to hear, but I'm just going to throw it out there based on my talk with especially trustees and delegates who served in the 60s and 70s. The biggest difference, or the two biggest differences between service today and service in the going back to the 60s and 70s, but also the 50s, there's two fundamental differences. Number one, the empowerment of the district. The district was the key connector between the area and the groups. Districts was so important that often a DCM was elected alternate delegate or area chair. Not so today. In today's AA, he got elected to like alternate deputy registrar and then hold like 12 area positions before you can get elected delegate. It was much different. And there weren't overarching area committees that felt like they had some kind of authority. The boots on the ground was the local district. The other difference, if you talk to people who served back then, is the, and again, I do not want to insult anyone, and it's impossible because I will, but in today's AA, sometimes no one wants to be a GSR, or it's the last job given out. And often it's someone with 2 years sobriety. Not that you can't be a GSR with 2 years sobriety, I was. But in the 50s, 60s, and 70s, based on my talks with past trustees and past delegates who served them, the average sobriety was about five times more than the GSR now. The person representing the group was a diehard member of the group a long time and had no problem holding a delegate accountable or an area chair accountable. Sometimes in today, I feel like, you know, we have a gathering, unfortunately, sometimes of people we haven't given the tools to be fully informed. And if you want to see an example of that, it's very simple in the service structure. It's this belief that every alternate should get elected to be the position. And I'm not saying they shouldn't, but I am saying this. If you had a really bad alternate coffee maker at your home group, you would not vote them to be coffee maker just because they were alternate. And we should do the same with anybody who's an alternate treasurer, an alternate area chair, an alternate secretary, an alternate delegate. If they don't do their job, just because they were alternate, they're not entitled. But AA was very different back then as far as the average tenure in AA of a GSR. But the one I really want to go and read clearly again is have a working familiarity with the 12 traditions and AA recovery and service literature. So let's take those slowly, one at a time. A working familiarity with the 12 traditions, requirement one in that bullet point. A working familiarity with AA recovery. Recently at an AA service event I was at, somebody in a trusted servant position told people that it's not important that a GSR has been through the 12 steps in the big book. I'm not sure that coincides with this bullet. A working familiarity with AA recovery, and I'm just not aware of any other recovery in AA besides the big book. So it's hard for me to, like, why would we tell someone that? And then service literature. But the 12 traditions are super, super, super important. I would tell you that it is impossible to serve as a GSR and vote on things at a district or an area assembly properly without understanding the 12 traditions. Now, I am big enough to say this. That doesn't mean that you have to have the same opinion of me on every tradition. You know what one of the most dangerous things in Alcoholics Anonymous is? I'll tell you right now. When a really, really important decision is made and somebody says, and it was unanimous. You know what that means? That means groupthink is alive and well. That means no one gave a minority opinion. And I find that impossible in Alcoholics Anonymous. On a really important, important issue involving a warranty or one of our concepts. But a lot of times that could happen because people are not familiar with our traditions. But you can't really apply the 12 tradition, the 12 concepts without applying or having experience with our 12 traditions. You need to understand them. So that gets me to my point on the next 2 weeks. And I understand, and I'm willing to, like I said, this is not about numbers. If you're a past delegate, or a past trustee, or a current delegate, or even smarter than your average bear, new GSR, you can skip the next 2 weeks. It's fine. But in order to make sure that we're bringing everyone on the same page, we're going to take 2 weeks and just go through the 12 traditions. And we're going to use the 12 Traditions Illustrated to do that. Now, if you're new to service or AA history, I would just tell you that there are some great books out there. Not all of them are easy to read. You know, one of the biggest benefits of Zoom, I think, sure, there's been, you know, Founders Day was on Zoom and there's been some great events on Zoom, and but I really think one of the most amazing things on Zoom has really not even been conventions or groups. It's been these groups of people getting together and reading AA Comes of Age together, or language of the heart together, or a particular pamphlet together. Because there's so much literature that we don't get to. And then the other thing, because, you know, people might not want to talk about it, is some of it is hard to read alone. Or maybe you have a service sponsor or a recovery sponsor who's not familiar with it. And what a gift it's been to have people reading AA Comes of Age and Language of the Heart, a bunch of other things. I could name a million of them. But it's really incredible that that is happening now. And I want to encourage all of you that truthfully, knowing the service manual backwards and forwards is not going to make you as good a GSR as having experience with the traditions. Having experience with the traditions is going to make you a much more effective GSR. And listen, in 2 weeks, we can just kind of open up the pique your interest, maybe make some high level points. But what we can really do is then maybe you're going to go to someone in your local area who has experience with the 12 traditions. And you're going to take the time to go through them. And the other thing I want to mention is this. It's also a chance, you know, in Spanish, the word for trustee is custodio, custodian. It means to leave something the same way you found it, or better. Not to leave it in worse condition. And for all of us who are on here, and for no one who's heard it said before, there is a way in your personal AA recovery life where you can really help out with this. Whereas when someone asks you to go through the big book, and here's where I'm being, I hope, reasonable and practical. You don't need to take everyone through the concepts. You really don't. But every AA member needs to know about the traditions. It's what guaranteed that AA was still here the day they needed AA. And so what I would ask everyone is what Don P. used to ask people. If somebody asks you to take you through the big book, and you know one of the questions to ask them are you willing to go to any lengths? Is you may need to define any lengths. That any lengths also means that you're going to go through the traditions with me. So that we're not just sending someone on fire with first legacy recovery who knows nothing about the traditions into the rest of AA. But like all other problems, we can't blame the newcomer. It's not the newcomer's fault. It's not the newcomer's fault that a group doesn't have enough money. I know this might be news, but newcomers usually don't have any money. So when we try to implicate or say that new people aren't putting enough money in the basket, it's kind of the most illogical statement I've ever heard. The poorest group of people as a whole in AA are newcomers as a group. If group has a financial problem, it's because people who got their lives back together as a result of AA are cheap. That's very simple. That's AA math 101, that they are not giving back in direct proportion to how well their life is going. But the same thing happens with the traditions. It's not the newcomer's fault. It's the sponsor's fault who just takes them through the big book and doesn't even talk to them about the traditions. But if you're going to be a GSR, or if you love service, or if you're in this meeting tonight and you want to be involved in the service structure, then I have no problem saying it is imperative that you have a working knowledge of the traditions. And so that's what we will do the next 2 weeks And then we will go right into, because you will have read all the way up to chapter one, the GSR, and you will have read, I think we're going to do a separate week. We are going to do a separate week on the district, especially after I just said that the district is something that in today's AA, we really need to maybe focus more on. So if anybody does have any questions, you can send them in now. I'm not sure we covered a lot of stuff tonight that is really for questions. Tonight was really more geared towards thanking the new people who have not done service yet, or maybe have done a little and have been a little nervous to say something at an assembly or a district meeting, or maybe just, you know, didn't have somebody to talk to, or, you know, it's very easy. It's, you go into one of those assemblies. I mean, you ever been to an assembly? In some of them, people even have like, not even stickers with their names. Like they have like one of those things at the Rotary Club that you pin on that says their name and their position. And that looks pretty official. If 2 years ago you were wondering, like, would you be out of jail today? And all of a sudden you're in a meeting with somebody like me who's wearing a pin that says what my title is. We want to break down those walls. We want to make you as effective a GSR and DCM and anything else as possible. Let me just take a quick look. Here's a question. What's the qualification for alternate GSR? We will go over that when we go over the chapter, but it's the same as GSR. It's exactly the same. See, we don't have co-positions in AA. We just have alternates. But when you take the role of an alternate, what you are agreeing to is not that you're going to run for the position in 2 years. That is an urban myth in Alcoholics Anonymous. What you are agreeing to is that if that person can't fulfill their term, that you're going to immediately step in. So you should be qualified. Another question, let's see. How is it possible to grant us the ability to pin you or to allow the speaker view to show rather than, well, we're not going to do that. So, and I don't think anyone needs to see me anymore. So that's fine. We're all about showing the interpreter tonight. You can scroll through your screen and find me if you're interested in seeing the person speaking. But what we want here is we want any deaf member who happens to log in to immediately see the interpreter and be welcoming and accessible. See, because when you make someone beg for something, it's not really accessible. It's only when they show up and it's already there that you can really use the word accessible. Let's see. Group histories, how often should we update them? I think that's probably up to your group, but my experience, most groups are very bad at this. And you should take a look at the last time your group updated your history. You mentioned we will use the 12 Traditions Illustrated. Would that be the newly published one or the old one? Well, that's easy. It will absolutely not be the new one because the new one is a disaster. I don't even know how it got passed by the conference. We'll be using the old one. I don't think they called the new one technically the 12 Traditions Illustrated. They have another name for it and a different number. But as far as I can see, just my humble opinion, two of the traditions were rewritten without asking for the permission of 75% of the AA groups. Two of the traditions in there. No, we'll be using the old one for sure. The good old black and white one that looks like this, that's the one we'll be using. Uh, Oh, I love this question. This is an amazing question. How do I find my district and area meetings? Haven't had any luck on the website. That question I love and breaks my heart at the same time. It really does. What I would tell that person is Dee is going to put her number, her email in the chat, and to please email Dee, and we are going to get you the contact information for your area chairperson specifically and delegate, if you're having that time harder time finding your district and area. So, but thank you for asking the question, and thank you for not being embarrassed to ask the question. Do you know why in the upside down triangle they smushed the GSB, AA Grapevine, and AAWS together? I think so. I think it's really to show how insignificant they're supposed to be in relation to the groups. That's what I really think. To really send the message that the groups and the GSRs and the districts are that much, because they don't even list the GSO and AA Grapevine staff there. So I think that's why they did it. How do you get a long timer who is only a first legacy person willing to be excited about the traditions? Well, it's difficult. But if they haven't heard that the preamble was changed, you might want to start there. My experience is to start with something that's really going to catch their attention as to why the service structure is important. You might want to also let them know that a plain language big book is being created. I'm not opposed to a plain language big book. I support the group conscience. But it is hard. But my experience is to focus on the day they came into AA and where they would be today in their life if there was no AA. There's a question here. I'm not sure it has to do with what we're talking about, but how do I like the new AA website? I think they blew the doors off the old one, and it's amazing. And the next time you see your regional trustee or somebody else, it looks amazing. It's much more user-friendly. I'm sure it has some problems inside it like every new website does, but it's amazing. When did areas begin to conduct most business at area committee meetings and not assemblies? Thank you for that question. I think we're going to have to, when we get into the section about assemblies and area committees, I think one of the things I want to do is take the time to let everyone know about the different types of area committees and area assemblies, like the most common ones that we see around the country. So, you can see what happens there, and because a lot of people aren't familiar, so it'll be easier when we get to that section. Why don't we have co-positions of AA? Because we don't have double-headed leadership. Because we need a single point that's responsible to the group conscience. What is the difference between the new and old service manual? You know, obviously it's 8x11. It looks to be laid out in a better order. It looks more readable. Like when you open it up, it doesn't look like you just opened up the U.S. Constitution, right? It looks like it has lots of space between the lines. The pictures, the graphics are better. But maybe as we all go through this, we'll come up with a different view of that. How can I find an online meeting that is reading aid, comes of age, or language of the heart? Send an email to Dee. She'll send you some information about that. Okay, let's see. Did you say that you personally have served on all the service positions, now a trustee? I'm confused on the terms for rotation of service for AA positions. Can you serve out of AA and do what you're doing for us tonight? I guess I'd say coaching us through. I have not held every position in AA service. I have been a GSR and a DCM and an area delegate and an alternate, and then I was an alternate delegate for 2 months. So when I said about standing, like the delegate died and I became delegate the next day. That's why I believe so strongly that alternates should be qualified. I have been an appointed committee member and a non-trustee director and a Class B trustee and chair of the World Services Board. 2 years at a time, I've held all those positions. But there's lots of positions I haven't held. I haven't been a U.S. trustee at large. I haven't been a Canadian trustee at large. I haven't been a grapevine director. I have not been the overall chair of an intergroup. Can you serve out of AA and do what you're doing for us tonight? I'm not sure what that means. It's a lot easier for me to do this as a rotated trustee because it's a lot of work being a trustee. A lot of work. In fact, I would say this about most people you meet in AA service. You might not agree with them. And there's probably some people you might never agree with. But what you can't take away from them is that 2 years at a time, for many 2 years in a row, they have sacrificed their own life because they served Alcoholics Anonymous. And I try to always keep that in the forefront. I mean, God rest his soul. Some of you knew Howard L. Howard died, unfortunately, last year. And I'm looking at Kenny. Kenny knew Howard well. No one gave me a harder time in my life on certain things than Howard. Oh, my God. But I had the greatest respect for Howard. And we ended up becoming very good friends. And, you know, his experience, you know, the one thing Howard taught me was that for every AA question, every AA question, at any group, district, assembly, board meeting, the only first question to ask is, does this fit in our principles? Not how much does it cost? Not where can we get a cheaper one from? Not is this good technology? None of those questions are the first question. Howard taught me that the first question always has to be, no matter how good an idea sounds, does it fit with inside our principles? Because if it doesn't, it's not a good idea and it's not good business. Let's see. I've been serving as a new GSR for about 6 months. Does my 2 year terms technically start in January? You should check with your district chair and your area chair. Those would be two good people to talk to about how things work. I don't want to talk out of school about your area. How do I become a GSR for an online group only? Do you think the future of online meetings is positive in order for those of us who want to do service online as GSRs? That's a great question. And I think I'll address more of it when we talk about GSRs. I think online is having the same problem as AA had and still does. Too many meetings and not enough groups. Online is just copying what brick and mortar AA, the big problem they had. too many meetings and not enough home groups. I also see a challenge with, listen, I attend an online meeting a couple days a week, but it's not my home group. I think there is something basic in AA about having a community around you in the geography you live in. I don't think it's a rule. I'm just saying, when you get a call that a loved one was just in a car accident, when you leave a doctor's office and you just got a very bad diagnosis, when the police come to your door, say the child was in an accident, when you pull over into a liquor store parking lot because you think having a drink is a good idea, we cannot undervalue how important having a local AA community around you geographically is. I'm a huge supporter of technology, huge. It's just that us AA people are all or nothing people. I mean, let's face it, me included. So I think there is a future for AA home groups online. I think we're going to have to find how do they participate. And I'm really looking forward to those discussions. I will tell you this, much like last year with the preamble and the plain language big book, if your group has a feeling about this or a belief about online home groups, you need to have an active GSR. And by the way, if you're here tonight and you don't like being a GSR, that's awesome. It's great. I have nothing to complain about. You know what my one ask is? That you be the biggest supporter at your business meeting to give the GSR the adequate time to report back to your home group so that your home group knows what's going on in AA and can send your group conscience back. There's so many things people who don't like general service can do to support general service. Someone's used the term homework. Let's get this straight. I hate school, teachers, authority, guidance counselors, principals. So the word homework is like a general description. Okay? General. It would be useful if you read the chapter up to the end of the GSR section the next couple of weeks, and you took a look at the first six traditions in AA's and the traditions illustrated for next week and the next six the week after. But I don't want to act like there is assigned homework. That sounds way too rigid for me. So there's a question about a district. I'm gonna keep that for when we get to the districts. I see another question about, I really can't give any more answers about online groups. I can only tell you that the trustees have a committee working with the online intergroup right now, and you should be asking your delegate and your DCM what's going on with that committee and where are they? Is working on improved communications in line with our principles, e.g. a communications committee that discusses and brings to the area districts and groups what an effective communication, how do we do it? Communication is the name of the game. Some people think we have a technology problem. It's really not a technology problem. The bigger problem is the speed in which people in today's society are used to getting information, which goes completely against the super slow way of passing out information that we use in AA. And I'm hopeful, based on what I read, that at all areas of service, they're looking to address this. Last question, and we will be done. I know someone who is a GSR for one group and other jobs in our other home group. Well, the one thing I can say to make you feel better is there's probably a lot of us who also know someone who's a GSR in one home group and holds jobs in others. So I don't want you to think that you are the only one banging your head against the wall. What I would tell you is this. If the person is not someone you sponsor, move on. Get it out of your head. If it's not your home group, move on. Don't worry about it. If it is your home group, I wouldn't start out by attacking someone for holding a job here and also having another home group. I think it would be better to bring up a principled discussion at your business meeting about qualifications to be a trusted servant at your meeting. And maybe one of those qualifications is you only have one home group and you don't hold a position at other groups like that, rather than going on the offensive. So much better to deal with the kind of overall policy than go after an individual. Because again, I want to point out that I will guarantee the individual you're talking about is a new on fire person who loves Alcoholics Anonymous, who's getting very bad direction from an old timer. We don't have a newcomer problem. We have an old timer problem. So Dee, I think we will, Luciana, thank you for going 15 minutes late. Really, really appreciate that. Can't say how much I appreciate it. Thank you. Next week, we'll be back here at this time. Some of you might want to know why we're no talk before the meeting, no talk after the meeting. I'll tell you why. Because some of you may have noticed, and it's getting worse now, that it seems that more people are getting sick now. I don't care what side of the spectrum you're on regarding any outside issue regarding medical treatment for COVID. I could care less. But it is back in the news strong. And I just don't like going into meetings beforehand, which I consider to be like a parking lot, where people are telling newcomers their opinions on being vaccinated or not vaccinated. I personally don't care about either. It just has no business in AA. And to prevent that kind of talk, especially with what's going on around us right now, it's just better to keep people muted and to take questions that way and to keep everything on the level. I will say this, last thing I'm going to say. The next week, listen, I get a lot of us in this meeting have a foundation in Alcoholics Anonymous. I'm glad you have a foundation. I'm glad you probably been through the 12 steps in the big book and had a bigger spiritual experience than I did. That's awesome. And I'm glad that probably a lot of us in this thing could say, you know what? Christmas Day is no different than September 4th. That's awesome too. But you know who can't say that? The newcomer. They have no foundation. They have not been through the steps. They are about as lonely could be this time of year. So here's my advice for the next couple of weeks. Drop the service manual. Pretend you're in a police movie. Drop the gun. Drop the service manual. There are newcomers dying on the front lines of Alcoholics Anonymous. There are people showing up at Alcathons who are super, super lonely, who don't know where to turn, who are not allowed back to their family's home. There's a million stories. There's no better time for me, no better time of year. You know, I sat outside a local clubhouse the other day with a newcomer myself. And he had the typical alcoholic survival pack. You know what that is, a cell phone and a lighter. An alcoholic just needs a cell phone and a lighter and they can get through life. They don't need a compass or matches, just a cell phone and a lighter. But he had 18 days, and I can tell you, he's not been through the steps yet. And he's having a really hard time. And so sometimes I think the best message you could send as a person who loves service and is involved in Third Legacy service is for people to see you on the front lines working with another alcoholic. So that's it, Dee. I can close with the responsibility statement.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Thanks, everybody. For those celebrating, have a Merry Christmas. We'll see you before the new year next year. After a moment of silence, we will close with the responsibility statement and a moment of silence for those sick and suffering, and also for those behind the walls and outside the walls. I am responsible when anyone anywhere reaches out for help. I want the hand of AA always to be there, and for that, I am responsible. Thanks, everyone. Have a great night.